The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Hello, once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and another outstanding day that we have headed for us because we're going to be talking with Steve Johnson, our favorite guy from Hank Haney Golf, talking about, several different things, including Rory McIlroy making his change on the bag, seeing how that is going to transpire. Also, of course, right here in the next couple of days coming up will be the WGC Bridgestone Invitational at Firestone, and a great tournament, a big tournament that draws all the big names there. So we'll talk about that, and that, of course, will lead into the next and final leg of the Grand Slam for golf as the tour turns to the PGA Championship in Charlotte. So many things that are happening in the world of golf. Joining us, as always, from Nashville is Frank Bassett. How are you doing today, Frank?
Good, man. I'm doing good. It's beautiful outside. My good friend Roger landed last night. Picked him up at the airport. We're ready to go tee it up after the show today, and we'll have to report on the showdown and my advice from Dr. Bob Winters.
Yes, he gave you some advice that hopefully will help you to solve the psychological issues that sometimes happen when you're playing a guy in a little match play. Yeah.
Hey, real quick before we go anywhere with this show today, our thoughts and prayers from I know Tim, Steve Johnson, all of us, out to David Faraday for the loss of his son. That was really surprising, devastating, I'm sure, for him.
And, yeah, wow. Tragedy yesterday.
Tragedy.
That happened.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Very, very sad. He was 29 years old.
We've got to do something about the opioid issue in this country. Hopefully Washington will do something about that, since they can't do anything about anything else. Maybe they can at least, let's get this cleaned up and build the wall. I don't care.
It would be nice.
Get the drugs out.
Nice, but, yeah.
Touches home. Hopefully. It's sad to hear that, man. Wow.
Yes, very, very sad day for golf in general, but certainly David Faraday, and I agree. Everybody should be thinking about that and anything that we can do to change that environment. You were even saying, Frank, that it touched people there in Nashville in a different way, right?
Well, it did, yeah. And, of course, our mayor, Megan Berry, is a good friend of ours. Her son, 29 years old, this past week, they get a phone call at 3 a.m., he died of an overdose in Denver. He had just graduated. He was communications, or not just graduated, but he had gotten a communications job in Denver, and boom. You know, so that's every parent's nightmare. Terrible. Is to get that phone call.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get to a happier note. And,
sure.
Wow, tough stuff.
Yeah, very tough. We also are going to talk about tomorrow is the big day if you happen to be in the Bay Area and you happen to be a Steph Curry fan. Why wouldn't you be? Because he's taking place in
the
baseball? LA May.
What does he play? The
web.com. Yeah, he plays a little basketball.
Baseball.
Just very, very little. And so he's gonna touch his toes in the waters of a professional golf event.
Yeah.
And he says he hopes to get off the first tee and he hopes to make the cut. Those are his two goals, and we'll see what happens. He played very well in that celebrity tournament in Lake Tahoe a couple weeks back, but it's a whole different ballgame playing in the web.com. And another guy who can relate to that and talk about that is one of the best instructors that we know in the country. That's
the
Steve
land.
Johnson. And let's bring him in. Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf. How you doing, Stevie Ray J?
I'm doing great. When you announced me like that, why was Frank laughing when you said that?
Yes, I don't know. I know.
I heard him laughing in the background.
I wasn't laughing.
Okay.
Is the Maurice
You're just
Allen.
Smiling. Smile, hey, audible smile.
Okay, so let me ask you this before we get started, Steve. So I have to play my good friend Roger Sarchet. He flies in from L.A., and we have some matches this week. Now, my instructor here has got me, because I don't play a lot, has me hooding my irons a little bit because I tend to fan them open on my backswing. You got any advice for that? Because it sure does pull that tendon.
Where's your big miss, Frank? Where does the ball go when you miss it? When you hit it up with the driver, where does the miss go?
I push it right. I mean, I can cut the irrelevant pad of it.
Okay. Well, the challenge with closing the club face with a driver is that, let's say you have 12 to 13 degrees aloft on that driver, and you close it to try to eliminate that right shot. You close it, let's say, 10 degrees or 5 degrees. You're taking a lot of loft off that club face, so you're going to hit bullets. The only way you can get that ball in the air is to hit up on it a bunch, which is a real high tee, which a slicer typically is afraid to do, or open the club face and you're going to get that slice again. So, give it a go. I don't think it's a long-term fix for you. But just learning, I would more say see more knuckles with your left hand on the grip. Turn your left hand more clockwise so you can see stronger at least grip. Three knuckles, like the Zach Johnson type grip. That when you're taking a practice swing, you're going to hear a swoosh, and that swoosh is the club face squaring up to the direction you're swinging. So make that swoosh happen well before you get to the ball, and you will fix that push slice because the face closed to the path, if that swoosh happens early, it's telling us that that face is squaring up to the path, and you're not going to hit that right shot. So
great.
There you go.
Strengthen the grip. And it's what's good about it is it doesn't – this tip didn't cost you anything, so it's
that was great.
Not worth what you paid for it.
You know,
there will be an invoice in the mail.
Hank Haney golf instruction from one of the top instructors in the country, Steve Johnson. That's pretty cool.
Yes. That's very good. And everybody can use the same thing, Frank. That's not just for you. For all our millions of listeners out there that have that same problem, which is pretty common. Right, Steve? Pretty common problem.
Oh, yeah.
It'll help a lot of people.
If you're a golf teacher and you cannot fix a slice, you're basically out of business because most people slice. So you got to have a solution to that miss.
So, all right. Yeah. Great.
Good luck today, Frank. I'm going to have to pull out backing you, though. I'm not going to back you in any bet that you have today.
What? Tim, confidence.
I'm going to have to pull out and wait and see if these tips help you.
Tim, are you backing me?
I don't blame you. Yeah.
Oh, no.
We all got money on Roger.
Oh, great.
We'll see how that goes.
I got the car title ready to go. Here we go.
Hey, Steve, so I want to, first question after that, I want to ask you about the Rory McIlroy incident, which happened earlier in the week. We all found out about, or over the weekend, about him and his caddy, J.P. Fitzgerald, parting ways, however it came about, whether one requested it over the other or it was mutual, probably doesn't really matter. But Rory's now saying, okay, I'm better off having my buddy on my bag than J.P., who certainly was on the bag for a lot of big events for Rory. What do you feel about this? Is this okay? Are you all right with the fact that a guy decides that the game's not going the way he wants it to? Somebody's head's going to roll, and it turns out to be the caddy.
Well, I mean, I wasn't there. I don't know what exactly happened. I'm just looking from the outside in, Tim. But I can tell you for sure, 100% positive, that it was not JP's idea. You've got six more events left. Most of these events are $8 to $10 million events. They're coming off the sixth event is the Tour Championship, which they won last year. It was reported that Rory stroked J.P. Fitzgerald a check of $1.65 million after that event. So you can bet that the J.P. wasn't his idea. It astounds me that he's making the move right now. I mean, is it really that bad? Like, they've won four majors together. They've won 13 PGA Tour events. They're coming off a Open Championship performance, tied for fourth. He's actually had a pretty darn good. He hasn't won this year yet, but he's been injured. But he's had a pretty darn good record, guys. You know, his top 10 production is unbelievable. I've got it listed here somewhere. Here it is right here. Okay, so he's played in 12 events on the PGA Tour. In the BMW, this was early in the year, this is a European Tour event. He came in second place in the BMW Open. Then in the WGC Mexico, he came in tied for seventh. In the Masters, tied for seventh. Now, he had a little hiccup here. He had the U.S. Open, Irish Open, Scottish Open, the Open trifecta. He missed the cut on all three of those events. And then he came back in the 146th Open, and he came tied for fourth again. Now, tied for fourth in Arnold Palmer Invitational. The World Golf Championship HSBC tied for fourth, and at the Travelers tied for 17th. Pretty really darn good.
Well, do you think that the confrontation
has battled some injuries?
But do you think the confrontation between he and JP had something to do with it when JP told him, "You're blanking Rory McIlroy, start acting and playing like it"?
Well, I mean, it could have, but every indication is that Rory praised him in the press a number of times. In his press conference afterwards, he says he's done it a couple times. And I really appreciate the fact that he got me turned around. And obviously something was wrong. When he bogeyed five out of the first seven holes in a major championship, when the weather's good, it's something's wrong. I mean, maybe he forgot who he was. I know Tiger Woods had forgotten who he was a few times when Hank was helping him. when he was doing some swing changes, Tiger would call Hank and say, oh, I just can't, you know, man, I don't know. Can you come over and move the club for me? This is at the Masters tournament. And Hank says, man, you're Tiger Woods. You can do this. And so sometimes the guys forget their accomplishments because they're so caught up in where they are right now in the moment. So,
we're talking with Steve Johnson, managing partner at Hank Haney Golf. I think there's, in today's era, Steve, is it different, do you think, the millennials, if you will, guys that are under 30 or in that age category, expect immediate results, expect everything on their phone to be, it's just the world that they live in, and so things aren't quite where they want to be. And, of course, in Rory's world, what you mentioned, his last year, his past season, has been pretty good, and a lot of pros would take that in a heartbeat. But if you're Rory, you think, I should be winning tournaments, and I certainly should be in the hunt, if not winning majors as well, that just finishing top 10 isn't good enough. But is it the world we live in that's the way these younger people, if you will, under 30, are going to say, something's not working, and I got to fix it. And if it's not me, a coach has to go, a caddy has to go, I got to get a new girlfriend, something has to change.
that's assigning blame. That's not taking responsibility. And that doesn't sound to me like the Rory McIlroy that's won four majors. And remember the collapse he had at the Masters, and then he came back 7 weeks later and just almost wire-to-wire winner at the PGA. It just doesn't sound like the same guy. Now, he doesn't live in a vacuum. Let's review what's happened to Rory over the last year. Well, his club manufacturer, who he signed a huge deal with, Nike, went out of the club business, so he has to change clubs. And let me preface this by saying, as a teacher, we are always trying to reduce the amount of variables to see if what we change is making an effect. So if we can leave everything the same and just change one thing, then we can see, okay, that is working. But when you start changing a lot of different things and you have too many variables in the equation, you don't know what's working and what's not working. So here's Rory. New clubs. Even bigger than new clubs, new ball. Which is by a lot of the analysts say, man, that is a tough thing. You got to really play to get used to the new ball, the spin, the carry, all the characteristics of playing the game. The ball is very important. He was starting and stopping his schedule with injuries. He had just after the U.S. Open, he had the ribs, other injuries because of lifting. He got married. Which is a huge change. Tim can attest to that's a huge change in your life right there.
Are you married, Tim?
Yeah.
Five got times. New putting coach. New Bill Kenyon, great coach, but it does take time. Then you've got the putter
too.
Magic.
He's gone back and forth with the putter. Yeah.
He came out and he said, you know what, I'm switching putters because this one I've done extensive testing, and this is the putter that tests out the best. So this is what I'm going to go with. I don't want, you know, He made that announcement because, you know, the press will tend to see something and they'll try to project, why in the world is he doing this? Is he getting paid to do this? Is he getting, you know, what's the reason? And he said, hey, it tested the best. Well, that putter actually lasted about one round. At the Travelers, he had five different putters. So this is, when you talk about firing J.P. Fitzgerald, I think it tells us a heck of a lot more about Rory McIlroy than it does about J.P. Fitzgerald's performance. I think Rory McIlroy has no plan. And, I mean, it goes all the way back to his first fiance, Wozniacki. And I'm thinking, how in the world is that going to work? She's playing professional tennis. He's playing professional golf. When are they going to see each other? What kind of a relationship are they going to have? Is someone going to retire?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't look like it. And that, you know, I mean, just there's some things that just don't look like they'll work. But then there's other things that he's been changing that Tiger Woods very rarely changed. He talked about being consistent. And you don't see many of the really top players trying to find magic in the putter. I mean, they have a game plan and they work through it. And Hank has said many times, you know, that is the challenge with being a coach. You've got to instill in the player the ability to see a plan through, not just bag the plan because it doesn't work today.
Well, in what you're saying, Steve, is it sounds like with all the changes that you just brought up as far as the putters, the putting coach, his clubs, his ball, on and on, JP should have almost expected this. Because whether or not that's Rory's past, you said it's not really like Rory, it certainly seems like that's his current lifestyle. That's what he's about. And maybe it goes back to Wozniacki, that he's going to make changes. Things are going to be a little bit less patient to let things develop and happen for him. I guess it's probably not a surprise that it happened with JP, and who knows, it may not be done. There might be other changes coming for Rory. Is he, in your opinion, and we've brought this up before on the show, where a lot of surveys have said when you ask PGA Tour professionals, who do you think is the most talented player on the tour, Rory gets a majority of the votes. Dustin gets an awful lot too, but as far as raw talent, Rory is right up there. Is he an underachiever considering how talented he is, Steve, even though you mentioned what he's done this year, and he has won four majors, and he's still a young man and everything else, but because he's so talented, he seems like he has messed some things up, and his body has started to break down already. Is he underachieving for as good as he is, or at least would he think he's underachieving? That's why I need to make these changes. I should be better. I should have six or eight or nine majors by now.
Well, I think he would even admit that, Tim. I think he's looked back, and I heard some of the things that he said in the press. In interviews, he's probably scheduled to do an interview today at the World Golf Championship Bridgestone Invitational. But, you know, I think he thinks he's an underachiever right now. I think the way he started out and getting those four majors pretty quickly, 13 wins on the PGA Tour. But you've got to look outside the game, too. And I'm not blaming anybody for his lack of performance over the last few years. Like, the guy did win the FedEx Cup last year. So
sure
he's not,
phenomenal
he's not,
style.
Yeah, from
he's
behind.
Not
yeah.
Down and out. I mean, he's not Stephen Bowditch. You know, Stephen Bowditch has played 24 events and he's missed 23 cuts. So,
there's a shot over the bow.
This guy's a top player. So when you look at Rory McIlroy, you got to compare him to the guys at his same level. And you look at the top 10 players in the world right now. And I would take, if there was a bag available, I mean, you got Jordan Spieth would be fun because he talks a lot and all that. But other than Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy is the bag that you want. He's the guy he needs some mentoring and some coaching because, he just does not appear to have any type of consistent plan in what he's doing. Now he'll probably say he does, but you've got to, a lot of times as coaches, we don't hear what they say. We see what they do. And what he's doing does not look like a game plan.
Well, Steve, he now has his friend on his bag. I mean, he's not a caddy. He's his buddy. So is that even going further backwards? He's not. It sounds like if a caddy is that important, and certainly Michael Greller got a lot of credit for what happened at the Open Championship with Jordan Spieth. If a caddy is that important to most people, to just get your buddy, I understand there's a comfort level there. But isn't that even a bigger step backwards that you go from the guy who's been on your bag and won majors to, hey, my friend that I like to hang out with is now going to carry my bag?
Well, it really depends on how the player utilizes the caddy, Tim. If, like Sergio Garcia thinks the caddy's just to carry the bag, and that's fine. So, hey, bring your friend. Hey, Sergio Garcia won with his fiance on the bag. So, no big deal. But Rory McIlroy has had JP very involved in the decision making, in addition to just giving yardages, giving opinions. And maybe he's saying, you know what, I'm just going to go it on my own. I know JP doesn't really help him on the greens much. And JP Fitzgerald, I was told yesterday by John Huggin, who follows the European Tour, the PGA Tour in Europe, that JP Fitzgerald was a very, very good amateur putter. His putting was phenomenal. And he just kind of stands over there on the side of the green when Rory's going through his routine. This is a big, big departure. You know, Rory McIlroy, other than the money and the FedEx Cup and the playoffs and all that stuff, Rory McIlroy has one tournament to play for, which is the PGA Championship. He mentioned in a press conference that he wanted to stifle Jordan Spieth's, and I'm using my own words, but this is the message I got, that he wanted to prevent Jordan Spieth from getting the Grand Slam before Rory did. So that means, you know, if Jordan Spieth wins the PGA Championship, he has all four majors.
Before Rory.
Pretty darn good. Yeah. And so this is the only tournament at Quail Hollow, which is a course that he's done well at. this is an important event to him. So do you want to change? Do you really want to change your caddy? Was it that bad? Or could you just tell J.P. Fitzgerald, hey, you know what? We're going to go. We're going to go to the end of the year. We're going to reevaluate. But I just want you to shut up. I don't want any information. I'm going to play it on my own. Yeah. And because you know what? If they do get in the hunt, and I very seriously doubt that they will be in the hunt this week and next week. But if they do, his buddy, who's a, he's an accomplished player, good amateur player, will crap his pants if they get in the hunt. Because the players choke, and the caddies choke, and everyone's choking, and when you haven't been there, it is a different feeling, man. And, you know, I don't think I'm betting on Rory over the next few weeks. He'll probably win both times. You know, that's the way I typically go.
Hey, Steve, I'm curious too, and you're saying that, and so let's jump ahead to Charlotte and the PGA Championship, which would be phenomenal to see those two guys in the same grouping now, right? On Sunday, if it's Rory and Spieth, and he's, one's trying to win all four legs and the other guy's trying to prevent him from winning the career Grand Slam, it'd be an awesome pairing. But it made me think, why is it that we never see the Watson, Nicklaus, Trevino, Nicklaus, those pairings? We very rarely see Dustin and Spieth and Day and Rory going head-to-head in final pairings in tournaments. Is there a reason that guys are missing cuts while the other guy wins, or they're way back when somebody else is winning? We're not seeing the drama that would be awesome with some of these top golfers to see these guys in final pairing. Not that Kuchar and Spieth wasn't fun and interesting, obviously ended up being phenomenal. But shouldn't we at some point expect to see the top four or five guys, Ricky even throw him in there if you want, some of those guys going head-to-head against each other?
Well, it would be nice, but I think the way the PGA Tour is going right now, there's not a small group of dominant players. I mean, you look down the list, you can go to 20 on the world rankings. And, you know, you've got Daniel Berger at 19, Paul Casey, Adam Scott, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Tommy Fleetwood. I mean, you've got guys playing all over the world right now. In the world rankings, we only have five or six guys, U.S. guys, in the top 20. I mean, a lot of these guys are playing overseas. So, you know, we're going to see it this next – we're going to see it tomorrow. We're going to see Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, and Jason Day. I mean, who could put a better group together than that? You've got perhaps the hottest player right now in Jordan Spieth, who's a gamer who can elevate his game. You've got Rory, who has perhaps the most talent. And you've got Jason Day, who's a grinder, who hasn't been playing. You know, I mean, he's got a lot of – he's worried about his mom. He's got a lot of issues that are distracting him, not to mention his health. And you never know how that's going to be. I mean, he could show up tomorrow and have a migraine headache and withdraw. You know, you never know.
And I'm going to predict that, by the way. Jason Day, there will be either this or the PGA Championship, a health issue will come up for Jason Day. Don't know what it is, but I'm going to put money on it. One of those two events, he's going to have a health issue.
I want to jump in real quick and make a statement. The opinions expressed about Stephen Bowditch on this show do not reflect. We love Stephen. Hey, he's a buddy.
I mean, you know, yeah, but I like Stephen too, but I didn't give you an opinion. I gave you the absolute facts.
That's
true.
He's
played 24 events. He's playing
great
this week in Reno.
Yeah.
And this will be his 25th event. He's made one cut. He's made $12,000-something. I mean, that is a guy that is struggling.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Struggling. I mean, so to say that Rory McIlroy's struggling, let's put it in perspective. I mean, my God, he hasn't won a major. He hasn't won a tournament.
Yeah.
But he's not struggling. I mean,
No.
Stephen Bowditch is struggling.
I'll tell you.
I feel for the guy. I do, too. I really do.
I do, too. He even said to us in Dallas, to Tim and I, at Jordan Spieth's foundation event, he said, I don't know what's going on. I've lost my game. I've got to figure this out. He said, but understand this, it is just a game, which is, I guess, a great frame of mind to have, but it's not exactly a frame of mind of a champion.
That's exactly the way
a player looks at it, though, Frank. I mean, how ridiculous, just a game. No, it's not. It's your job.
Yeah.
It's your job.
That's right.
And so, I mean, they minimize things to make them so they can work around them. Saying it's just a game, it's not just a game to him. It's a living. How are you going to support your family? How are you going to, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if you can't play? I mean, those are all the things that those guys need to keep their minds away from so they can advance from where they are. When you get too caught up with, oh my gosh, you know, I'm losing my game, and how am I going to make the car payment, and how am I going to, you know, I mean, it cripples you, and they can't go there. So, I mean, to say that it's a game, that's like saying to me, hey, you know what, I lost my job, but you know what, really, I only did it 40 hours a week, you know, what the heck.
He did have a sense of humor about it, Steve, because at the time, this is like a year ago almost now.
Yeah.
The tweet. Tiger was still kind of in a quandary about what he was going to do, and Bowditch even joked to us and said, "Hey, if Tiger's worried about his game, he needs to come and watch me. He'll feel a lot better about his game."
He did say that.
That's true.
That's a true statement. Hey, talking about injuries, and you talked about Jason Day, Tim.
Yeah,
there's one player. There are 49 of the top 50 players are playing this week. There's one that isn't. He's right here in town with us, and that's Brant Snedeker. Yeah. Snedeker has some issues with the health issues that have really affected him adversely this year.
Yeah,
big time.
Yeah, it has. He's got it's a arm issue, is it not?
No, it's muscles in his chest.
That's right, ribs and chest and stuff. Yeah, and he's had MRIs and different things, I've heard, but he still has to drop out. He's not able to. It happens, and he's, of course, getting older, and you know, it's a game that. And, Steve, I'll bring this up. It's a good point you brought there, Frank, because it made me think of something that they were talking about on Faraday's show when he had John Daly on there and Lee Trevino. Trevino or someone made the point of, I don't know if there's going to be a PGA Tour Champions, a senior tour, if you will, in the next 20 years, because so many of these younger guys are tearing themselves up so much, they won't be able to compete at a high level when they're 50 years old and 55 years old, and certainly not Bernhard Langer. Is there any credence in that as far as you're concerned, the way that the players swing so hard now and are doing the things they are doing to their body that they won't have the ability to play as seniors?
Man, I would like to think not, because, you know, there is obviously there's a place for the PGA Tour champions. These are guys that we all looked up to when we were coming up to the game, and it's fun, even no matter where their game is at the current time. I mean, it's neat to be around them. It's neat to watch them play. We can really relate to, and I'm telling you what, they're still great players. I mean, Tom Watson shot 67.
Unbelievable.
At the Senior Open Championship, 60, shot his age.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Weather. Right.
So, I mean, I think we see the guys that are doing well, the guys like a Tom Watson and a Bernhard Langer, even the 50-year-old guys, a lot of them are in really good shape. You don't see many of the huge, you know, the guys that have just totally let their bodies go. Those guys probably aren't playing.
So, but you won't see Tiger. You won't see Jason Day, Rory. That's the point. Will you see those guys playing at 50-plus?
Well, do you think money has something to do with that, too, because they make so much money so early that they really don't have to do anything?
Yeah, I think that's a huge issue. That's a big issue. Even David Faraday, Mark O'Meara, Hall of Famer, one of Hank's students, was asked by David Faraday, why are you still playing? And he said, there's a good reason for that. And he said, the reason I'm still playing is because I'm still spending. So he likes spending money. So in order to spend money, you got to make money. And, you know, it was a different generation where those guys had to play week after week to make a living. Now, I mean, there's so much money on the PGA Tour. I mean, gosh, we're playing over the next 6 weeks. They're probably playing for $65 million, $60 million. I mean, that's.
And people aren't aware. Sometimes people aren't aware of the pension that PGA Tour players have, and that's in large part to Tiger and his involvement and the money coming into the game. People have no idea what retiring or near retiring players that have done well on the PGA Tour, but not necessarily Hall of Famers, how much money is in a pool that they're going to have access to when they turn 50, 55, 60 years old. It's very rarely talked about. We all talk about pensions in football and basketball and other sports. There's a lot of money for these guys, not for Mark O'Meara necessarily or the guys at that age, but for these young guys, if you play and you're Justin Thomas and you're having that kind of a young career, you can expect tens of millions of dollars if he keeps it at that level for the next 20 years when he turns 50. So, money might not be a factor. That they're like, okay, I'm spending a lot, but I got a bunch in the bank, so maybe it won't make a difference. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I was curious about that. I'm also curious, Steve, what you think about Steph Curry before he let you go. Steph Curry going to be teeing it up in the Ellie Mae Classic.
He's not going to make the cut. Tour. He's not going to make the cut.
Did you watch him at all during the celebrity event at Lake Tahoe? What did you think about his swing?
I did see him. You know, of all the professional athletes other than the golfers, I'm telling you what, he's a pretty good player. Now, I mean, we kind of underestimate how great those players are in the web.com events. We'll see. I mean, he'll get a little taste. And he's not going to, the cameras aren't going to distract him. The fans aren't going to distract him. The guy's got a, he has a reputation of being able to really focus. I hope it would be good for the event if he made the cut, but the biggest gallery by far out there will be for Steph Curry. And I mean, and he's not the best player out there, but he is the biggest name out there. And I think it's good for the tournament. I think it's good for the area. The beneficiaries of the revenues from the tournament are going to go right to the local charities there, which is great. And I hope he does fine. I hope he does good. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. He's a 2 handicap, by the way. He's also, speaking of money, he's maintaining his amateur status.
Speaking
because,
of money.
Ironically, he just signed a $200 million contract with the Warriors about a month ago. So I don't think being amateur or professional is going to matter an awful lot. If he were to earn a paycheck, I'm sure he'd give it to charity and whatever anyway. So it will be fun to, you know, your good friend, our good friend Mike Modano played pretty well in that in that American Century Championship in Tahoe as well, Steve.
Oh, yeah. That's good. I mean, and I promise you, Mike Modano was nervous.
Yeah.
He was nervous. he's a great player. I mean, he's a good club player. He's a great athlete. The guy has a body of a 20-year-old. And it just shows you how hard golf is, because if he struggles with it, I mean, just think about all us guys that are not good athletes. It makes it that much tougher.
It's a tough game. All right, Steve, before we go, PGA Championship, we'll maybe talk to you before that, but give us a name. Who's your sleeper pick to win in Charlotte?
Oh, gosh. You know, last major of the year. I'm going to just narrow it down to a continent. It's going to be Europe. Europe's going to win
in the
PGA Championship. That's all I can commit to right now.
So the PGA Championship soon to be played in May. Well, that's for another show. But
nice.
Yeah,
nice. It's typically I watched the PGA Championship at Southern Hills back when Tiger won it, and man, it was like 140 degrees out there. People were dropping like flies. And
yeah,
it'd be nice to play a major like that when the weather's not so dang hot.
Yeah,
it'll also put the Open Championship at the back now, instead of it being in the kind of in the middle there at third. It'll be the last.
It's the biggest. I mean, the U.S. Open is the biggest.
So we're going to see, and they're also going to move the players back as well, right? So they're going to
originally it was in March forever. So they're going to go back to March, and that takes a whole different dynamic, or presents a whole different dynamic with the weather in Jacksonville. So
it'll be interesting. So. Hey, Steve, we appreciate your time.
Guys.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it. Have a good time. You're going to be on with Hank Haney on SiriusXM.
We are. I'm going to question his logic, because he said some things yesterday on the show that I just did not sit right with me. This may be my last show on Hank Haney Golf Radio.
Hey, tell Hank we said hello and we totally disagree with what he said yesterday.
Yes, whatever it was.
I will.
Okay.
I will. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. See you later. Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf, at least through today.
Yeah, if he gets in Hank's face, JP.
He might be giving a phone call to JP Fitzgerald and see if they want to play a round of golf together. So we'll see what happens. But he's got some opinions.
He does. He's such a great guy, too. Steve Johnson is a great teacher. I mean, Hank Haney has a big name, and Hank's a great teacher, but Steve Johnson's right there with him. He's beside him all the time, so.
Working with a lot of different all different levels, and we've talked to him about that before. He's got that the Chinese student is still, I guess, coming and going. 9-year-old girl from China who comes over from China at 9. I was barely allowed out of my yard.
Oh, I know.
At 9, she's traveling from China.
Well, that's
Dallas area.
Right there, that's another issue for another show too, Tim, is some of the Korean players and the Chinese players, we know that some of them, they don't really go to school. They just, golf's going to be their profession, so that's what they focus on. And, you know, there's that's a whole show to talk about the impact of that.
And you're right. And in China's case, that's what the country is pushing is, okay, if you're going to be an athlete, because it means a lot to the pride of the country, if you will, especially if it's an Olympic sport, which golf now is, they'll take you out of school and put you in, special schools, if you will, for a little bit of classroom work and a lot of work in volleyball or basketball or golf or whatever it might be. And that's apparently, because this girl we're talking about, we talked with Steve before, her dad was a gold medalist in ping pong, which is a huge sport in table tennis in China. So,
at least your head doesn't have to look as far like tennis, going left to right. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going off rails, but I love when those guys get like 30 feet behind the table.
Oh, yeah.
Still hitting balls back. Oh. I'm like, how do you do that?
Isn't that great?
Oh, it's amazing.
Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump.
Exactly.
There you go. It's going to be a good week. The tournament this week is always a lot of fun, as Earl Forsey said on Monday with us. You've got the top players. I mean, this is like the Players' Championship all over again. So, which is my favorite tournament, as you well know. And by the way, moving the Players' Championship back to March, it can be cold or hot or all of the above, or rainy or stormy. It's going to change that tournament, and it'll bring the scores back closer to par course.
They're going to shake some things up on the tour just from a scheduling standpoint, and so we'll see. I'm sure, like everything else, just like the rules changes in golf that we're experiencing going through now, there's always pros and cons, and there's some people that like it and some won't. So the schedule changes, and if you move the PGA Championship to May, somebody's going to not like that and whatever, but I don't mind the change, to be honest with you, because I think some sports at times get kind of lost in their let's just always do things the same. So I think it's good that golf is willing to not only change some rules, although sometimes they're very slow in changing the rules.
God only had 10, okay?
Yeah, I know.
The USGA rule book is thick.
Yeah, so they want to minimize it, but they're taking 2 years to do it. I'm like, okay, does it take you 2 years to decide if you want to drop a ball, if you have to have a drop, from shoulder height or down an inch off the ground?
Well, that's placing it. I don't agree with that.
And I don't know if I do either, but they're going to take 2 years to decide it. I'm like, well, decide now. I mean, you know what the difference is. It's shoulder height or it's down there. Why do you need 2 years to figure out? But so that's the problem I have.
It's called job security with the USGA.
Yeah, I guess.
It's job security.
It's like being in the Senate. What do I do to stay here? You know, how do I? You don't make any changes. Don't do anything drastic. So who are you liking for Firestone?
You want the truth?
Really?
Sure. I think DJ. I really do.
Yeah. Defending champ.
Yeah. I think DJ's going to put it. He's almost there. He's darn close. I think he's going to pull it all together. Although, you know, I'd love to see Spieth win again. I think that would just be great. And then but it might wear him out leading into the PGA Championship.
Yeah. It's a lot of highly competitive golf. And I think there is a difference between, playing the Travelers, let's just say, and then going to a major, or in this case, World Golf Championships are
a
level below major, but above most other tour events. And if it's the intensity of that, sometimes mentally it's as fatiguing as it is physically, and then you have to turn around and go and play another major, the PGA Championship, for somebody like Spieth. That's a lot of mental focus for a long, long time. That it's tough to do. It makes me amazed at what Nicklaus and those guys could do back then. But like I said, in today's world, where you see it's not unusual for guys to miss a number of cuts, even if they're top golfers, it's not going to surprise me if a Spieth doesn't have such a great event or some of these other guys don't, because I think it is very hard for these guys to stay mentally focused for weeks and weeks and weeks at a time.
It's hard for me to stay mentally focused from segment to segment in the show. Or today.
I can hear you snoring in the background.
I'll be, I can't get a word in edgewise with you and Steve, so I just sit back and enjoy the show. It's great. I'm sitting there eating a donut, you know, having a cup of coffee, just whatever.
Hey, by the way, one other thing that I wanted to mention, we're talking about this week's tournament coming up at Bridgestone, is a name that we haven't heard an awful lot. And what's happened to Hideki Matsuyama?
I don't know. I mean,
he was so on fire a few months back, and now it's like,
I don't know. We
never hear anything about him.
Nope, he's just not. He's not up there in the, on the leaderboard like he was.
I mean, yeah, he's moved down in the world ranking. Spieth is overtaken. He's now number two in the world behind Dustin Johnson. That's what I'd like to see. Is what I was saying to Steve. Is I'd like to see whether it's this week's tournament, but certainly at a major where we
Spieth
can get
and Dustin.
To. Well, just the top guys going at it. I think it's good for the game. I think it's good for golf in that era when Watson and Nicklaus, you have to watch what they're doing. It's almost match play like it would have been with Kuchar, but instead of it being Kuchar, and I guess it sounds bad. I don't disparage Matt.
Not at all.
Great golfer and everything. But if that had been Spieth and Dustin or Spieth and Rory, it just seems like the electricity would have been off the charts.
Well, you know, maybe yes and no, because Dustin hits the ball so far. That even though Spieth is very mentally tough, and we know his coaches, his whole team, when I'm playing with somebody who just pounds it so far past me that, you know, we have a 3-club difference coming into the green, it affects the way I play. I just automatically start pressing a little harder, a little harder, a little harder, and I have to remind myself, hole to hole, don't try to keep up. You can't.
Right.
And they won't let me go to the forward tees anymore because they took my kilt away. So, which is, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But
well, we'll see what
happens.
John Rahm's also back in the mix is a possibility. He didn't have such a great Open Championship, but let's not forget that he was red hot going into that. A lot of people liked him at the Open Championship. So, to Steve's point, there are a lot of really good golfers now, and you probably do have to go 20 deep. And maybe it's unfair to say
or
back
more.
In the 70s and 80s with Nicklaus, the tour didn't go 20 deep. Occasionally, somebody would jump out of nowhere. But for the most part, you had 5, 6, 7 guys that you knew the winners were going to come out of. And that certainly may not be the case anymore. Because
but you also had
good players.
Think about this, and we talked about the money. You also had guys week to week that were playing to earn a check in those days too, and the checks were tiny compared to today, absolutely tiny. And they get in a car and drive to the next tournament. Well, they've got to pay the hotel bill. They got to pay for the gasoline, and to press really hard to try to win as hard as every player today does, because the money is so big, so deep, they don't have to worry about if they're going to have enough to pay the hotel bill the next week in most cases.
Yeah.
So, you know, money changes every dynamic of the game. And I'm not saying it's bad. I think it's great. But it's changed. It's just totally different to me today than it used to be. And Steve was right, too, before we go, is, you know, we do a lot of PGA Tour Champions events, have in the past. We'll be doing more this next year. And it's fun at those events because we're in there with the guys that we all looked up to growing up. And we're just having drinks with them and talking to them and, you know, Jeff Maggart, you know, just, and I sitting at the bar at Ruth Chris in Memphis, you know, just laughing and talking, although it was a PGA Tour event, the FedEx Classic. It's fun to be around those guys. It really is. So, PGA Tour champions.
When you're talking about the money, too, and how it has definitely changed, it was funny how Steve said about O'Meara. He goes, why are you still playing? Because I'm still spending.
Still spending.
Like, okay.
That's good comeback. I like that.
They don't have that pocket full of money. And it reminds me, Justin Leonard, I believe it was Justin Leonard, and he's had a very good career and won a major and contended for a number of majors, Ryder Cup and all that. So it's not just an average tour player. But I believe it's something like when he turns 50 or 55, whenever the PGA pension turns in, and Justin even told me at one point, he goes, and you can thank Tiger for a lot of this, because when the money started coming in, our tour, if you will, got smart and said, we need to develop a pot of money here that we can all take from, depending on how many cuts you make and all these other variables.
Yeah.
But Jordan Spieth, Justin Leonard at 50 or 55 is going to have in excess of $25 million in his pension when he retires. I mean, so in addition to what he's earned and made already.
And in addition to his salary at the Golf Channel.
He's already made over 30 or 40 million playing golf. He'll have that as a pension. You can imagine Tiger, at that same rate, Tiger must have $100 million sitting for him. So you're right. It's going to be different. And I don't know if that's going to affect the Champions Tour or not, that these guys are going to say, well, I still spend, but I got a big pot of money here I can afford to spend. So it's not going to matter.
Wish I had that.
Yeah.
A little depressing.
Golf Talk America, the Golf Talk America pension isn't quite there yet. So.
No, it's not quite there. We got to pay for the G5. You know, it's expensive.
Hey, it was also, my,
Oh, looks like I had a little technical dropout with Tim Matthews there. He'll probably come right back in with us in a second, I hope. If he doesn't, I'll have to end the show without Tim. But it's been fun talking to Steve Johnson and talking to everybody. I'll keep talking. You're back. Okay, good. Well, he's gone again. It just never ceases to amaze me, the technology that we have today. Anyway, we enjoyed Steve Johnson. Thanks to Tim Matthews. Thanks to everybody out there for listening. We appreciate it very, very much. And remember, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Facebook, like us on Twitter, or follow us or like us or do something like that. Anyway, Tim Matthews, Steve Johnson, I'm Frank Bassett, and we are out.